Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us as we celebrate the day of Pentecost and what it means for the Church. And so let's pray. O God, you alone are our judge. In your grace, would you send your Spirit of truth to expose our hearts and challenge our complacency so that we may surrender to your mercy and follow your will through Jesus Christ, the one who frees us. Amen. Our reading on this Pentecost Sunday is from Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 21, and I'm reading from the NIV. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said they have had too much wine. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." May God bless his word to us today and always. Pentecost, from the Greek meaning 50th, is in the broader sense a religious observance that has roots in the Old Testament and continues to be observed in both Judaism and Christianity, but for quite different reasons. In the Hebrew Old Testament, the customary name for the observance was the Feast of Weeks, Shavuot. It is regarded as the second of three compulsory observances and sits between Passover and the Feast of Tabernacles. I say the customary name for Pentecost was the Feast of Weeks because originally it was an agricultural festival that included Israel bringing the first fruits of the harvest as an offering to the Lord. But with time, specifically after the destruction of the Second Temple in 70 AD, the agricultural aspect of Shavuot became secondary, and the festival was observed primarily as a celebration of the revelation or giving of the written and oral Torahs, the Pentateuch, together with the Talmud and the Midrash. Thus, 2,000 years ago, the Pharisees, the primary shapers of Judaism as we know it today, advocated this view. From a Christian perspective, the day of Pentecost is associated with the outpouring of the promised Holy Spirit, which Jesus assured his disciples would come in the day of his departure, though it seems what he shared in John chapter 14, 15, and 16 was hard for them to understand. Jesus described the promised Holy Spirit as the Paraclete, one called alongside to help them. So here are a few things then that become important for us to think about and to respond to because of Pentecost. Firstly, Pentecost was understood to be a fulfillment of prophecy. Within the context of our reading in Acts and the rest of the book, the events associated with Pentecost constituted the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel. The Apostle Peter affirmed this, quoting Joel chapter 2, verse 28 to 32. Notable are the opening words of the prophet Joel in that quote, "And it shall come to pass, afterward, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions." Not only is it a fulfillment of prophecy, but in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it is the promise of Jesus, just prior to his ascension, where he said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Thus, the events of Pentecost are presented in Acts as both the fulfillment of Jesus' promise and Joel's prophecy, reinforcing for us who Jesus is, God the Son, who we could say spoke through the prophet Joel, for he is indeed the Word of God. So it was that on that glorious day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit descended upon the 120 followers of Jesus, who had gathered in that upper room, praying and waiting. It must have been quite an experience, a sound of a mighty rushing wind, followed by fire that separated into smaller fires, which then settled on each one of them, resulting in them speaking in tongues or languages understood by many local Jewish people, more especially those foreign proselytes to the Jewish faith, who were in Jerusalem for the Feast of Weeks. In this, some have observed that Luke showed that the church was from the beginning universal to provide a prototype or model of God's mission to the world, that God intended to reach beyond the Jewish nation into the Gentile world. Together then, the disciples were empowered by the Holy Spirit to be witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, on this occasion, the apostles took the lead and Peter testified boldly to the gathering crowd so that in the end, 3,000 people were added to the church on that day. The second thing that's important to us is that Pentecost means that ultimately Jesus is present with his church through the Holy Spirit to the end of the age. See how he spoke of the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14, verse 16 to 18. "And I will ask my Father, and he will give you another helper, to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Pentecost means that we will not be hapless and helpless without the guiding presence of Jesus through the Holy Spirit. Next, we come to the third thing. The Holy Spirit is the one who inhabits God's people and thus constitutes or brings into being the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones. This is who we are, the family of God, for better or for worse. C.S. Lewis, in an essay titled Membership, from a collection of essays called Fern Seed and Elephants, says, and I quote, "No Christian, and indeed no historian, would accept the epigram or saying which defines religion as what a man does with his solitude. It was one of the Wesleys, I think, who said that the New Testament knows nothing of solitary religion. We are forbidden to neglect the assembling of ourselves together. Christianity is already institutional in the earliest of its documents. The church is the bride of Christ. We are members of one another." End quote. The reason this view is so important to us, the church, is that it was brought into being by Christ through his Holy Spirit. Jesus makes it an important issue. But we are not simply a number. Instead, we are to understand ourselves to be like the organs of a human body, being different, yet belonging and important, so that we are to our community a reflection of the life-giving work of the Spirit. And it doesn't matter what role we play. That is what we are. This is what it means to be in a community, one race alongside another race, educated alongside uneducated, strong alongside weak, rich alongside poor, old alongside young. All sinners, saved by grace, sharing life in the Spirit, so that all may benefit and together bear witness to the salvation of God. And so we come to our fourth point. The Holy Spirit, through Pentecost, brings together all nations, languages, and tongues. It has long been the view that, in a remarkable way, Pentecost is God's way of overcoming the breakdown and confusion of languages that arose in Genesis 11, verse 1 to 9, which is also one of our lectionary readings for today. This is the Tower of Babel story, where people were dispersed for wanting to reach the heavens and make a name for themselves so that they would live in a unity forged by human effort alone without God. As a result, God confuses their language so that they can no longer understand each other or work together, and so they are scattered. Now, with Pentecost, the Holy Spirit overcomes this division, empowering believers to speak in multiple languages and unite in understanding, despite the differences in their original tongues. But it is really more than that. It is about gathering at the cross of Jesus Christ, where languages, nationalities, and people groups fade into insignificance as they should, and we become one through the powerful working of the Holy Spirit. As we end, we discover that in God's overall scheme of things, there is a progression in His working in and through His people. Under the Old Covenant, He promised to speak to His people through His appointed prophets, who were ministers of God's word and identifiable because of their faithfulness to the Old Covenant, as well as their ability to do signs and wonders. Yet, despite the privilege of hearing God's words from appointed prophets, the fact that only select individuals would have the spirit of prophecy was not ideal. In fact, Old Covenant prophets like Moses and Jeremiah looked forward to a better day when all the people of God would have the fullness of the Holy Spirit writing God's word on their hearts, and so rendering their office obsolete. This is evident in Numbers chapter 11, verse 16 to 30, where Moses rebuked Joshua for wanting him to forbid Eldad and Medad, upon whom the Spirit of God had rested, from prophesying in the camp in an unofficial capacity. Instead, Moses, understanding that a day was coming when God's people would no longer need appointed individuals to mediate to them new revelation from God, said, "I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put His Spirit on them." And yes, later prophets like Joel foresaw a day when all believers, from the lowliest servants to the most exalted rulers, would receive the word of God and speak it to one another with understanding. As theologian O. Palmer Robertson put it, the Old Covenant prophets knew the ultimate goal of God's covenant cannot be realized so long as a prophetic figure must stand between the Lord and His people. As such, says another theologian, as a result of Pentecost and as part of our salvation, all of God's people now stand in the line of the prophets with an even greater understanding of the Lord's plan and purpose. There is no longer any need for a prophetic mediator between God and the believer, as was true during the Old Covenant. God has spoken fully and finally in His Son, and we are prophets insofar as we believe and teach only what the living written word teaches. This means that no one today can claim to hold the office of prophet and speak on behalf of God to God's people, bringing new revelation, for that would be an error. There is so much richness that is ours through the Holy Spirit because of Pentecost. Our work, therefore, is to allow God to lead and guide us in our understanding of His will through Scripture, and then to stand firm in our proclamation of it and of our doing of it. May God help us to do so faithfully. Amen. Let us pray. O God, we are Your people to use in this world. Grant us grace and boldness to proclaim your good news in ways and in words that all will understand and believe. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless you.